What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rovardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson, and we are so close to the 2024 NFL Draft kicking off, and we've had a lot of discussions about who the Giants should draft in the first round, but how about who they shouldn't draft in the first round? Is there any position that we think they should avoid with their first round draft pick? Well, honestly, yes, there is, and some of you may agree with us, some of you may disagree with us, but we're going to go ahead and dive into why the Giants should avoid drafting an offensive lineman in the first round. Feel free to debate us in the comment section on this one if you think they should go ahead and take Joe Alt or whichever tackle you like with the first round pick that the Giants own. But to us, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. Offensive line, maybe not the smartest strategy to go with in the first round of this year's draft, despite how bad the Giants' offensive line was this past season. So we're going to kind of unpack this, dive into why we think they shouldn't go offensive line, maybe play some devil's advocate and talk about why maybe they should go offensive line. But before we dive into all that, make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend, and what are your thoughts on why the Giants should avoid drafting an offensive lineman in the first round?
I'm doing pretty good, and listen, we've had a couple conversations about the offensive line. Look, the truth is, I think the Giants did a pretty good job this offseason addressing some of their key positions that needed upgrades. John Runyan, we've broke this down maybe one or two times, and John Runyan was a left guard and a really good one in terms of pass protection with the Green Bay Packers, and they ended up moving his position to right guard because Elgton Jenkins was struggling outside at tackle. They wanted him to be their left guard. Obviously, he ended up becoming a tremendous player, one of the best in the league, so they had no choice but to move Runyan to right guard, where his stock has dropped, and because he's not traditionally a right guard, and the Giants saw the value there and said, well, you know, let's not spend $17 million on Kevin Dotson, or let's not spend $17 million on Robert Hunt or any of these big pricey acquisitions. Instead, let's pivot to a guy that actually fills a really big weakness that we have at a much cheaper price point. So they go and they sign John Runyan to a 3-year, $30 million deal, $10 million per season. And I think the value we're going to get from him is going to blow people away. That's my personal opinion. John Runyan is an above average pass protector at left guard. Then you look at Jermaine Illuminor, who we love. Jermaine Illuminor wants to be a Giant. He wants to be a good Giant, not even just a great Giant. That work ethic, that desire, we love to have that here. We need that culture. And Jermaine Illuminor, coming from Carmen Brasillo's scheme already, has that experience 2 years worth, actually. And I was doing some research this morning, and it's really interesting. So the Las Vegas Raiders last season had the 13th ranked pass protection unit. They also had the 14th ranked run blocking unit. Now, let me give you some perspective into why the Giants shouldn't be allocating a third offensive line pick in the top 10 for the third time in 4 years. Why? Well, the Raiders had an above average line last year in both run and pass protection, and they had one first round pick on that line last season. One. In fact, they had two undrafted players, and they had one third rounder and I believe another fifth or seventh rounder, if I'm not mistaken. Colton Miller was their only first round pick, only one actually in the first two draft rounds that was on that line last year, yet they were exponentially better than the Giants' offensive line. Now, why would that be, as you ask? And, you know, I'll point to Greg Van Roten, a guy that we talked about a couple months ago, as a perfect example of that. Greg Van Roten is 34 years old right now. He was 33 years old last season. He had his best year under the leadership of Carmen Brasillo and that run-blocking scheme and that pass protection scheme. Guys, throwing high, valuable draft picks at the same position 3-4 years in a row is bad practice. Why? Because it's not about a lack of talent. It's about a lack of coaching and development. And that's where we have to focus. Carmen Brasillo is exponentially better than Bobby Johnson at getting maximum value out of players who are not only experienced, but also young. I think the Giants will tell Carmen Brasillo this. We're going to give you a mid to late round pick. You pick the guy you want. You know, third, fourth, fifth round pick, probably fourth or fifth. That's probably where I'm targeting right now. Go find a guy you like in the fourth or fifth round. That guy Rosengarten from Washington, maybe someone to keep an eye on. We've talked about him in the past. We're going to give you a mid-round pick, a guy that you like, you know, someone that you can develop over time, maybe has swing possibilities, or could even develop into a starter. That's the most we're going to give you, aside from the two contracts we offered out, $7 million, $14 million deal to Jermaine Illuminor, and the $30 million three-year deal to John Runyan. I think this is about coaching and development. We all hammered Bobby Johnson last year for the lack of development. Evan Neal's tape at Alabama shows a different player than what he showed with the Giants the last 2 years. It's a different player. What happened to him? You know, what happened to Evan Neal that made him regress to the level that we have seen? Now we're going to find out, because Carmen Brasillo has a different approach, different coaching techniques, coaching tendencies. I've heard some stories from other people that knew him that, you know, I think even vacationed with him down in Jersey. Said he's a really good guy, really cool guy. You like that. You love to have that. He's tough. He's disciplined, but he's a good guy, and people respect him. You know, Anthony, when you're looking at this offensive line, allocating more draft capital, top two round draft capital, is not how you fix this line. Getting a good teacher is how you fix this line, because we need to maximize the talent already on the roster. We can't keep throwing big draft capital at the same positions. We need a freaking quarterback. We need a top receiver if we don't get a quarterback. I'm not going to go Joe Alt, move him from left tackle to right tackle, you know, just for the hopes of him beating out a guy we spent the 7th overall pick on 2 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, that's bad. That's malpractice. Not bad practice. It's malpractice. What do you think about that kind of dynamic in terms of the Giants, in my opinion, need to be going into this thinking we need to develop our talent already on the roster and not keep replacing the same guys over and over again?
I mean, that's completely right. Listen, there's two aspects of building a football team. You draft players, then you develop players, or you sign them and then you develop them into your new scheme. And the Giants have drafted well, in my opinion. I think they've added solid talent. Like, we all praised the Kayvon Thibodeau selection. We all praised the Evan Neal selection. We praised the Josh Azidu selection as well in the 3rd round. Looked like a solid player that the Giants snagged. Even Marcus McKethan in the 5th looked like a good selection. These players had talent. They put it on the game film throughout their collegiate career. They tested well at the combines and their pro days. They interviewed well. All of these things that these players did, and somehow, some way, none of that talent that was shown prior to their NFL entrance has shown up on an NFL field. Why is that? It's a lack of development, a lack of coaching. There's two aspects to building a football team. You draft well, you bring in talent, you have to develop that talent. The Giants have failed to develop talent, especially over the last 2 years with Bobby Johnson as their offensive line coach. All throughout the past 2 years watching this team play, there were miscommunications up front with picking up stunts. There were miscommunications on which way the protection was supposed to slide. There was bad technique, bad fundamentals from all of the offensive linemen. The only one who was consistently good was Andrew Thomas, and he was injured a lot, so that really hurt this team quite a bit. But that offensive line just didn't look like a cohesive unit really at any point over the last 2 years. A lot of that, yes, has to do with injuries and moving parts, a lot of changing of the guards, so to speak, figuratively and literally changing of the guards at those guard spots. A lot of moving parts with players going in and out of the lineup, but ultimately, none of those players that entered the lineup looked fully prepared for Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays. These guys looked uncoached, underdeveloped, improperly coached. It's just been a mess these past 2 seasons. But now with Carmen Brasillo coming in, Alex, you make a lot of good points. The way he was able to develop late-round talent throughout his time with the Las Vegas Raiders, and if you want to go back even further, how about his time with the New England Patriots? He was an assistant offensive line coach there, eventually became the full-time offensive line coach for the Patriots. Guys like Mike Onwenu, who we spent a lot of time talking about prior to free agency, he wasn't a first-round draft pick, a mid-round guy who developed under the tutelage of Carmen Brasillo and has now gone on to become one of the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL. So that should tell you even more of what you need to know about the quality of coach that the Giants brought in on the offensive line. This isn't the same as Bobby Johnson, who, yeah, we heard good stories about, but we didn't really see a solid track record, a solid history of player development when Bobby Johnson was hired by the New York Giants 2 years ago. With Carmen Brasillo, it's different. We've heard maybe not the best history of player interpersonal relationships. We've heard that Carmen Brasillo maybe rubs players the wrong way at times. But on paper, the development of talent is there. So it's the opposite of the Bobby Johnson, who was a player's coach. The players seemed to love him in Buffalo and loved him for the Giants, right? But he didn't really have that history of developing talent so strongly. Carmen Brasillo, opposite. Maybe doesn't get along with all the players, develops players properly. And that's really where the Giants need to go now with their coaching staff. They need guys who are not just buddies with these players, but are coaches for these players and do develop them properly. So that's why I'll endlessly praise this hiring of Carmen Brasillo until he proves me wrong. If he proves me wrong and he doesn't get these players developing, of course, I'll criticize him and I'll say, hey, the Giants got this one wrong as well. But right now, what it looks like on paper, they brought in a guy that knows how to develop young talent, and that's really what the Giants need. They don't need just another guy who helps become friends with these players. They need someone who's going to coach and develop them properly. And that means maybe moving Evan Neal inside to guard, maybe moving him around, maybe playing John Runyon at left guard, right guard, trying him in different spots, moving all of these players around until you find the right combination on the offensive line that makes things work and makes these players take those steps forward. Evan Neal is obviously the most important player that needs to take that step forward. The Giants invested way too much in a player just to have him be a bust within 2 to 3 seasons of his career. When you're looking at Evan Neal, former number 7 overall pick, dominant force at Alabama on multiple spots on the offensive line, time to move him around in the NFL and see if he has a higher potential at a different position, in my opinion. I think Harmon Brisolo will agree with that, and we'll try him at the guard spots and see if that's the way to develop him. But developing Evan Neal needs to be priority number one for Harmon Brisolo, and then finding the other pieces and making those guys gel, just getting a competent unit in front of the quarterback and running back this upcoming season is going to be so important. You don't need a top 10 offensive line to succeed in the NFL, but if you can at least be average, you can start winning some football games. The Giants haven't had average in a very long time. This past season, they were the furthest thing from average. This was the worst offensive line on paper that maybe the NFL has seen in the last 20 years. 85 sacks allowed was a record for post-1990 sack percentages. It was insane how much pressure was surrendered by this offensive line. And even that, if you look at the metrics, their run blocking also stunk. So the New York Giants have a lot of room to grow on this offensive line. Maybe they do need additional talent. And that's another thing that I want to mention. I don't think you need to go round one with the talent on the offensive line because, first of all, if you're taking a tackle with the number 6 pick, it's probably Joe Alt, and he's a left tackle. There are really good right tackles in this draft class that you don't need to take with a top 10 pick. If the Giants really want to go offensive line and take a right tackle and move Evan Neal inside to guard, they move down in the first round. They take a guy like Amarius Mims, like J.C. Latham, like Talisi Fuaga. Those are really good right tackle prospects in this draft class that can probably make an instant impact on the Giants offensive line, maybe even more so than Joe Alt, because you don't have to flip his position and make him learn how to play right-handed versus left-handed. That's a huge thing that you have to consider there. But how about this, Alex? This is a player that we've kind of talked about here and there on the show. Third round draft pick. This would be my suggestion for the New York Giants. You'll get a day one starter in right guard Christian Haynes out of UConn if you go ahead and draft him with a number 70 overall pick. This kid has over 3,100 snaps of starting experience in his collegiate career. You're not going to find a more pro-ready and day one starter-ready offensive lineman in the middle rounds in most draft classes. Christian Haynes would be my solution to the Giants' offensive line woes if they wanted to address that position early. I would do it in the third round with Christian Haynes. Alex, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that? Maybe going after Haynes, or if you have any other names that you want to throw out there. I know Christian Mahogany out of Boston College is another popular name that's been connected to the Giants in that third, fourth round range. I don't think the first round is necessarily the way that you need to go, but if you take an offensive lineman as early as round 3, you possibly can find a day one starter with that high of a draft pick. What are your thoughts on that, Alex?
Yeah, like I said before, I think the Giants are going to say to Carmen Brasillo, look, we hired you, we brought you in. And similar to what they did with Shane Bowen, you know, they were like, look, you might lose Xavier McKinney, you might lose a piece or two, but we're going to give you the star pass rusher that you need to operate, right? Like, we're going to do you a big solid. We're going to give you a superstar pass rusher in Brian Burns. I think the Giants said the same thing to Brasillo, and they got him to, you know, free agents, and he's inheriting a lot of talent that he did not help draft, and, you know, guys that he did not scout. We're talking about Josh Azudu, we're talking about Marcus McKethan, Evan Neal, Michael Schmitz. Like, he doesn't know any of these guys, right? He had no part, no say in any of these. Not that he has much anyway, but, you know, they probably get his opinion. Like, do you like these guys? Do you like their profile? They're probably going to roll over his exact blocking scheme for what it's worth. I don't think they're going to change much. I think maybe to some basic personnel strengths and weaknesses, they may adjust things. But I do think that right now they're going to probably say copy and paste. You know, it worked in Vegas, and you did it with less talent, to be fair. The Giants have more talent on the offensive line than Vegas did last year, and he got more results out of them. So I think they're going to copy and paste that same model. But with that being said, they brought in two guys that he probably helped hand select and say, I think these guys can be good. John Runyon's a really good athlete. He can move. He's not the best run blocker, but he's a very good pass protector. There's upside there that I think that the Giants would like to expand upon. Jermaine Illuminor, we know what we're getting in him. He is going to be a day one starter, in my opinion. If Evan Neal doesn't kick his butt into shape, Jermaine Illuminor is going to start at right tackle on day one next year. And right now, that is my simmering take. It's not hot, it's not cold, it's a fair take, I think. But with that being said, I think that you're right. They should give him an opportunity to go and land a guy that could be a day one starter. And if it's in the third round, so be it. You know, I'm fine. If he thinks this guy could be a day one starter for us and we can get him in the third round, that's great value. Just not the first or second. I think, you know, that's kind of what we're both agreeing on here.
Yeah, I do agree on that. And I want to make a point on Jermaine Illuminor because you mentioned how he could be your immediate starter and potential upgrade at right tackle. Well, let's say that Evan Neal looks good in camp. The story is not yet written for Evan Neal. He does still have a chance to be the right tackle this upcoming season, because if you look at Jermaine Illuminor's career history, he's also played right guard. They could be viewing him as an immediate starter at right guard instead. Continue to try Evan Neal at right tackle, and then that opens the door, Alex, as you said, for John Runyon to move back to his natural position of left guard. You start Runyon at the left side, you put Illuminor at the right side, and then you still have Neal at right tackle, and if Neal starts to play better at right tackle, you probably stick with him for the full season and hope that he does pan out, and then you really just don't need to worry about offensive line for the foreseeable future in the early portions of the draft, right? Because then you have Neal now developing finally and panning out at right tackle. You've got Illuminor, who's a good stopgap right guard for you over the next couple of years, and you have John Runyon at left guard, same situation, can be a starter for the next couple of seasons. So that would be the ideal scenario. Ideally, Jermaine Illuminor is not the starting right tackle this season. Ideally, he's the starting right guard, and he plays well there, and Evan Neal does take that step forward at right tackle. However, it's not necessarily the most likely outcome. Evan Neal has really struggled and hasn't shown a lot of progress. So what happens if he continues to look pretty bad at right tackle during camp? I think you move him inside to guard, but then that's the question mark. Is it going to be right guard? Is it going to be left guard? If you look at his collegiate tape at Alabama, he played left guard. He never played right guard, and he's always looked more comfortable on the left side. Moving him to right tackle has been a struggle. So you'd like to move him to left guard, but then what does that mean for John Runyon, who, like you mentioned, is a natural left guard and really struggled this past season at right guard? That's going to be the conundrum that the Giants find themselves in, which is why, ideally, Evan Neal is a 17-game starter for the Giants at right tackle this season. That's what they really need to be hoping for. And if that's not the case, they do need to add talent at the right guard position and maybe even right tackle in this year's draft. Later on in the draft, though, developmental pieces, they do need to add some talent on the right side of the offensive line so that they can have the flexibility to put John Runyon back at left guard, his natural position, and not get stuck with him on the right side, which is why I'm an advocate for Christian Haynes. And I want to throw out this scenario and get your take on this, Alex. If the Giants decide we want to go offensive line in round one, I don't know if you just saw this, I'm writing about this right now. Giants GM Joe Shane just said something very interesting about the draft plans for the New York Giants. I'm going to bring this up a little off topic, but I'll tie it into our topic. He said, we don't want to be up here again. We don't want to be picking in the top 10. We have multiple leads. We are going into multiple needs. We're going into year three. People assume we're going quarterback, but we have other needs. If the quarterback goes 1, 2, 3, and 4, then we're getting the second best position player, not quarterback at 6, which is okay too. So Joe Shane just said that to Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer. I think that's a really interesting quote. It opens the door for the Giants to stick and pick at 6 and just take the best playmaker. And if you read on through the quote, it kind of is Joe Shane saying, hey, quarterback is not our top priority right now. So that's interesting enough as it is, but I'm going to go ahead and tie this into this offensive tackle conversation, because he specifically said second best position player, not quarterback. But that's at 6. What if the Giants did this, Alex? What if they said, hey, we would love to get one of these receivers, but more so than anything, we want an offensive tackle. But we don't think the value is there to take a left tackle at 6 while we have Andrew Thomas, Joe Alt being that player. So how about moving down? We've heard a lot of fans in our comment section say, hey, the Giants should trade down, add extra draft picks, try and get 2 first rounders this year, right? We've heard that before. What if they move down, Alex, into about that 15 to 20 range in this year's draft and take the best right tackle on the board, whether they believe that's J.C. Latham out of Alabama or Talisi Fuaga out of Washington State, or maybe they go even down even further on the board, Georgia's Amarius Mims, who was an absolute standout at the NFL scouting combine. Would you prefer that the Giants trade down, take the best right tackle on the board, or would you go with the best offensive line talent in Joe Alt? How do you feel about either one of those scenarios, and in particular, the possibility of trading down, adding extra draft capital, and addressing the right tackle position?
Listen, guys, I don't want to touch an offensive lineman at all in the first round. And the reason is I really like Jermaine Illuminor. Like, I really like him. He's a very solid player. And you're going to get average to slightly above average performance from him. And you don't need superstars at every position, right? This Giants team, like, look, adding more draft capital is very enticing. But I'd rather trade back and go grab, like, a receiver and then plus some than trade back and get another offensive lineman, right? I think right now the Giants have done enough investing in the offensive line. We have multiple contracts there now, multiple first-round picks, a second-round pick, multiple mid-round picks. We have – I mean, if you think about it on paper, Carmen Brasillo is inheriting probably – and I saw the graph, actually. The Giants have spent more on the offensive line position of the last 5 years than any other team, and it's not even close. He's inheriting a team that has money invested, first-round picks invested, second-round picks invested, middle-round picks invested. How much more could he ask for? Like, he has more talent than you could possibly ask for on this line. It's not about the lack of talent. It's a lack of development. It's a lack of – and for what it's worth, nobody can convince me that this team had good coaching on the offensive line last year. All of us agree with that. All of us can sit here and say with confidence – That unit was one of the worst coached lines we've ever seen. And it was also one of the most injury-riddled lines we've ever seen. They were rotating players, trying to figure it out. It is what it is. Why Washington hired Bobby Johnson is against everything that logic would suggest to me, but God bless him. I'm happy he went there, of all places, into a division freaking rival. So, you know, in my perspective right now, this offense needs so much. But one thing it doesn't need is more investment in the offensive line. So I'm with you in the sense that I'll go third round. Third, fourth, fifth round, cool with me. First, second round, quarterback, receiver. If that's what the Giants can pull off, I'm all in. Quarterback first, receiver second round. Or if they can't get a quarterback, give me Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. at six. You walk away happy. You keep your draft capital. Second round, you can use on a Chop Robinson if he were to go in the second round. You could use on anybody else, right? You could use it on another cornerback. You could use it on a tight end. You could use it on offensive line if you really wanted to and there was a really good player there. You could use it on an interior defender. You could use it on a safety. You know, there's tons of needs on this team that could use addressing. But with that being said, offensive line, first two rounds, no shot I'm allocating another draft pick there. We have too much talent, too much resource allocation. It's time to develop these guys, right? Time to develop Evan Neal. Time to develop Marcus McKethan. Time to develop Josh Adjudu. Time to develop Michael Schmitz. These are the guys I'm looking at to take big steps forward, not trying to install a player with the top 10 pick that is actually a left tackle to play a right tackle when I really like Jermaine Illuminor. I think that Evan Neal should be cross-training for guard right now because he's about to lose his job if he doesn't get significantly. And it's not even close. I think Jermaine Illuminor is significantly better than Evan Neal at this point right now as we speak. That doesn't mean Evan Neal cannot get significantly better, but he's got to prove it, right? He's got to prove it. Until otherwise proven, he is awful. He's terrible. He's injury prone and he's bad. You know, that's what he is right now. But he has the opportunity to change that story. The story is not finished. The chapter, it's only two chapters in to a five-year contract. There's five chapters in your rookie contract. Every year's a different one. He's in chapter three now. Is it going to get better? You know, is it going to be a different story for him this year? It could be. Better coaching, better situation, competition. The Giants were handing him the starting job. No longer, the Giants said, we're bringing in a guy to compete. You either earn it or you're riding the bench or you're changing positions. It's time the Giants do that for every position that is in question, quarterback included.
Quarterback has to be included in that conversation. And so that's where I do, before we wrap this, Alex, a good conversation here on the offensive line and why we feel like, you know, investing more first round draft capital into the offensive line isn't the best option. But I know we didn't want to talk quarterback in this one, but again, this quote dropped while we were recording, so I do just want to get your take on Joe Shane's comments here about the quarterbacks. I'll read it off again. If the quarterbacks go 1 through 4, then we're getting the second best position player, not quarterback at 6, which is okay too. He said we have multiple needs. People assume we're going quarterback, but we have other needs, kind of referencing the fact that maybe they won't go with a QB in the first round. And then he went on to say, last year, our quarterback's coach was with C.J. Stroud at his workout. We spent time with Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. We spent time with those guys so that when they become free agents, we know who they are and we can sign them, just like they did with Drew Lock too. How do you feel about this quote from Joe Shane, just kind of as a bonus topic here before we wrap up this episode? What are you thinking with Joe Shane kind of saying, hey, well, everybody's assuming it's quarterback, but we do have other needs to address?
I mean, he's right. I mean, we're assuming it could be quarterback, but he's freaking right. This team has a lot of needs to address. But with that being said, Joe Shane showed his hand this year, this offseason, in my opinion. Like, I think he's already shown his hand. And the hand that he showed was positional value, right? Positional value. He showed it. He displayed it. It's obvious. It's evident. He let the free safety walk. He let the running back walk. He allocated the money to a pass rusher. What's the next step? Positional value, if we're going to go with the same trend he's been showing this whole offseason, it's resetting the rookie quarterback window. It's the only logical path to follow, in my personal opinion. If you end up with Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr., am I going to be sitting here telling you I'm not happy? No freaking way. Those two guys are monsters. I'm going to be ecstatic to have them on offense. There's no question about it. Don't get it twisted. But everything he has shown, everything he has said, everything he's done indicates this team is going in the direction of drafting a quarterback, because every single move reinforcing the offensive line so that a rookie quarterback can step into a situation that he isn't in peril, right? They've reinforced this line. Daniel Jones, and if you look, we were just talking about this before the episode started, Drew Lock's contract has heavy incentives for playing time in it. Why would he have heavy incentives for playing time if Daniel Jones was the guaranteed starter? I don't know. You know, I don't know. What if they draft a rookie and the rookie's not ready? What if they draft J.J. McCarthy and he's not ready? And Drew Lock ends up starting and they don't even let Daniel Jones sniff the field because of his injury contract clauses, right? If he gets hurt again, season-ending injury, and he fails that physical at the end of the year, the Giants owe him the full $46 million cap hit. You can't do it. You can't let him play, right? You can't let him play. The Drew Lock incentives, everything the Giants have done. Look, I'm not saying that Daniel Jones isn't going to play, but it would be a tremendous risk to let him sniff the football field next year. Tremendous. Because you screw yourself out of any possibility, right? This is the truth. If the Giants don't get a top receiver in this year's draft class and you know, they need to go find one next year when the free agency class comes around, there's some really good options to trade for, and you're going to have to pay on top of it. You're going to have to pay them. If you let Daniel Jones sniff the football field and he gets hurt again, you can kiss any opportunity of acquiring a top receiver goodbye. Right? Acquiring one via trade and then paying him? Off the table. Paying him in free agency? Off the table. You cannot get a top receiver if you have to pay Daniel Jones the full $46 million cap hit in 2025, because you're going to have to offload the entirety of that deal to the last 2 or 3 years of the contract. And we've seen what that does to a team's cap space. Well, Dave Gettleman did it, and we've been paying the bill ever since. You know what I mean? It's good practice to try and front load some of that money like they did with Daniel Jones, like they did. They had big cap hits early on. It's in their best interest to not have him get injured again, not sniff the football field. The positional value method they've taken this offseason, the obvious trends, the obvious decisions, they all point towards resetting that rookie quarterback window and spending bigger in free agency next offseason. I mean, that's the way I perceive it. Anyone else could have a different opinion. I think that you probably see it the same way I do when you look at the cap space, though.
I do agree with you. This doesn't really change anything for me. He makes a good point in acknowledging quarterbacks could go 1 through 4, and then the Giants are going to be happy to take the best playmaker available, is essentially what he said and essentially what we've been saying. The Giants would like to get a QB. If they can't, great consolation prize in Malik Nabers, who has like all pro potential at the next level at the wide receiver spot, right? You have to be happy with that. But one thing that I'll say, Alex, does this change your kind of speculation, your perspective on the idea of the Giants trading up? Because in this quote, Joe Shane sounds really content with sticking and picking at 6. Like, that's pretty much what he said. If quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, we'll sit there at number 6 and be happy with the second best position player. That's essentially what he said. So do you think that this is maybe a hint that the Giants aren't looking to trade up? We've heard rumors. We've heard that they are. But then after the Brian Burns trade, they lost one of those second-round picks. So we've kind of seen, hey, maybe it's going to be really difficult for them to move up into the top 3 or 4. And also, it's going to be difficult to do that anyway because of how many teams are trying to and how many quarterbacks are expected to go off the board with the first 3 picks. The Patriots probably taking one. So 1, 2, 3, there you go. Giants' odds of landing the quarterback that they want are increasingly slim. So do you think that this quote kind of foreshadows that maybe the Giants aren't going to be bold and aren't going to trade up, and that maybe this is just a stick-and-pick situation?
Look, you mean you're the biggest proponent of the possibility of you know, Joe Shane moving up ever. Like, how many times have we had the conversation? He did it for Josh Allen. He's done it before. If you have conviction, and part of that quote, by the way, that I read, actually, I think it was 2 days ago, 1 day ago, yesterday, I don't remember. What the part of that actual conversation that in the quote that he had to Albert Breer was, you have to trust your gut, trust your experience, and trust your research. If the Giants find a quarterback that they're like, this guy, we feel it. You know, we feel that this guy can be the game changer for us. He can take us to the promised land. He can be the face of this franchise, take over, and we can win now. You know, we can draft. You know, you talk about Adam Schefter. I said on Pat Leonard's show, he said the Giants are trying to win now. You want to know the biggest win now move is drafting a quarterback. That's actually the truth, because if you play Daniel Jones and gets hurt, you're not winning now. You just screwed yourself for the next 3 years, you know, because your cap hit's absolutely cooked. The best chance of the Giants winning now is drafting a quarterback that they feel can step in and make an impact on day one. That is their best shot. C.J. Stroud did it last year. The Giants need to do it this year. You know, they need to go and get that guy they think can make an impact and be a great player on day one with upside. Brian Daboll is the coach you want. He's the guy. He's the one you hired to do this freaking job. Let him do his job. He inherited Daniel Jones and the monstrous amount of bad habits that came with him. The lack of pocket presence, the lack of, you know, being able to throw the ball in certain respects, the awful ball handling, the fumbles, the interceptions, the poor decision making. He inherited all of it, and he got Daniel Jones to a playoff game. This is the year he was there, and he actually had him win a playoff game. Think about what he could do with a 21, 22-year-old kid with the unbelievable upside that maybe Drake May has. Think about what he could do with the electrifying nature that Jaden Daniels has. Even think about what he could do with J.J. McCarthy as a structured quarterback that has the potential to maybe open up that gunslinging profile, right? That's where I want to see the Giants go. They are better off trying to win now, as Adam Schefter says, drafting a quarterback than sticking with Daniel Jones and risking it all. The Giants are risk-averse. You know, Joe Shane has been risk-averse. He has not taken unnecessary risks. Daniel Jones playing is a massive risk. Why would you doom yourself to that? Joe Shane is a smart dude. He's made good decisions, good financial decisions. Playing Daniel Jones next year would be the worst financial decision you could possibly make, ever. Logically, everything suggests do not do that. I don't think he's going to, personally.
I agree with you. I think that the injury guarantee in Daniel Jones's contract is the real reason that the Giants would make the move to move on from him this offseason. I don't think that it's because they think he's a bad football player and they don't believe in him. They paid him a lot of money. Clearly, the Giants evaluate Daniel Jones and think that he is a good quarterback. But that injury guarantee and the repercussions that that could have on your roster building for the future if things go sideways, it's pretty drastic and it's pretty intense, and which is why I think we're going to see a situation very reminiscent of the one that we just saw in Denver with Russell Wilson getting benched midway through the season while in the playoff hunt this past year. I think that we could see something very similar to that happening with Daniel Jones if he is the starter this year. Even if the Giants are winning, even if he plays well, you cannot risk him having that injury guarantee kick in for that 2025 season. So I agree, man. Joe Shane has been very good, very careful, avoiding risks like that that could blow back against his team. And he's done a very good job managing the Giants' money and making sure that they don't have issues with the salary cap. So if he can avoid any potential bombs being erupted on their salary cap space with Daniel Jones potentially getting injured, I expect him to do whatever he can to avoid it. And I think that drafting a quarterback gives him the easiest path to avoiding that potential issue with Daniel Jones's contract. But we'll see. I think really what Joe Shane is saying depends how the board falls. Let's see who's available. Let's see if there's any teams willing to trade up. It's all a wait and see game. The anticipation is killing me. We're a little over 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. I wish it were just here already. I want to get this done and over with and know what the New York Giants are going to look like in 2024. But I know all of you are feeling the same way, and I know all of you are excited for the upcoming NFL draft. So I want to go ahead and share with you guys NFL draft night. Show up here, Fireside Giants, live stream, live reactions to the picks. The Giants make a crazy trade. You're going to see our raw live reaction. They make a draft pick that maybe we don't agree with. You're going to see that angry reaction right here live on the channel. All of that fun stuff. And we'll have reaction videos analysis right after the stream as well. It's going to be a really fun weekend, and we can't wait to provide you with all of that New York Giants content during the NFL draft. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants.